Radio Prague News.
A Social Democrat MP has indicated he may allow the coalition government a chance of winning a majority in an upcoming confidence vote. A memorial ceremony for Jan Palach has been held at the Olšany Cemetery in Prague. A demonstration by right-wing extremists in the east of the country has been broken up by police. Social Democrat MP Miloš Melčak has indicated he may allow the country's newly appointed government a chance to win a majority in an upcoming confidence vote. In an interview for the Czech newspaper Mladá fronta Dnes on Saturday, Mr. Melčak indicated he was ultimately still undecided, but said it was possible he may leave the chamber during next Friday's confidence vote. That would allow the center-right government led by Mirek Topolánek a chance of earning a majority. In the interview, Mr. Melčak suggested there were a number of reasons why it would be preferable for his party to go into the opposition, echoing recent statements made by the party's former leader, Miloš Zeman. MP Melčak told Mladá fronta Dnes he would prefer negotiations between the three-party coalition and the Social Democrats to continue. In reaction, a number of civic democrats, including Deputy Leader Ivan Langer, have expressed confidence the government will survive the vote. On Saturday, he suggested that there would be more than one Social Democrat MP who would tolerate the new cabinet. Some within the Civic Democratic Party have speculated as many as seven rival MPs could tolerate the government as a means of breaking the political deadlock. But notably, most Social Democrats have dismissed such statements, suggesting they were psychological tactics. Members of the Prague public were able to take part in a memorial ceremony on Saturday marking the sacrifice of student Jan Palach 38 years ago. On January 16, 1969, the young student, who was 20 years old, doused himself in gasoline and set himself alight on Prague's Wenceslas Square. The act was one of protest against the brutal Soviet-led invasion of Czechoslovakia in 1968. The ceremony on Saturday took place at the site of Mr. Palach's grave at the Olšany Cemetery in Prague. Also on the day, some 130 people gathered in Mr. Palach's hometown of Všetaty near Prague to mark his sacrifice. A demonstration by right-wing extremists planned in the town of Otrokovice near Zlín, eastern Moravia, was broken up by police shortly after it began at 3 p.m. on Saturday. Police moved in after right-wing extremists clashed with anarchists opposed to the march. The right-wing extremist organization which organized the event is reportedly some 200 members strong. On Saturday, attendees were monitored by an undisclosed number of police and even a police helicopter. The local town hall had warned citizens in advance of the event. It is not the first time right-wing extremists have chosen Otrokovice as a site. I'm Jan Wellinger. That's the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, and my name is Dita Asiedu. Up next, Daniela Lazarová looks at some of the more unusual stories that have been making the headlines. Among them, the Pre-Monarchs League says it wants Prince Charles to be King of the Czech Republic. Preparing to bear all for the sake of art? Find out how your employer feels about it. And why truck drivers in the Czech Republic are stocking up on tinfoil. This and more in magazine. In Soundcheck, in which you learn Czech phrases and idioms through song lyrics, find out how to tell someone that he's dreaming about something unattainable. And we'll be hearing from Linda Jablonská, creator of a new documentary on the lives of young conservatives and communists in the Czech Republic.
The Procession of Three Kings, a reenactment of the three wise men's journey to visit the infant Jesus, annually marks the end of the Christmas festivities here in Prague. The event, which has a 12-year tradition, was the brainchild of Spanish priest Alberto Giraldo, who came to Prague 13 years ago. His idea was to bring a spiritual note to a holiday that has become increasingly consumer-driven. It was received with great enthusiasm, and ever since, every year on January the 6th, Prague is full of three kings of all ages collecting money for charity. The main procession, watched by several hundred people, rides from Prague Castle to Loreto Square, where a live nativity scene is set up. The three kings make speeches to the baby Jesus and hand over their gifts, after which a live band leads the carol singing. However, even if you're stuck at home with a bad cold on the day, you will not miss out on the fun. Your local three kings, usually schoolchildren, will come right up to your door to wish you a happy new year and accept whatever you wish to contribute to charity. None of the kings are real, of course, but there are some people who wish they were. On January the 6th, the Pro-Monarch League traditionally makes its way to Prague Castle to demonstrate in favour of turning the Czech Republic into a monarchy. It is a funny costume procession wearing the colours of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, waving the Austro-Hungarian flag and singing the Austro-Hungarian anthem. Led by a donkey and a goat, it goes from Wenceslas Square to Prague Castle, which it claims President Klaus is inhabiting illegally. The Pro-Monarchs League believes that the country would be better off with a king on the throne and says that the drawn-out political crisis is ample proof of this. They've been looking round for a possible successor, and their favourite candidate is Prince Charles. It doesn't look like he's going to be King of England, so maybe he'd like to come over and be our king, one of them said. But to come down to earth, Czechs may not be happy with their present leadership, but they see no reason why they shouldn't make some extra money by betting on developments. The two hot topics right now are, will the government survive a vote of confidence, and will the Prime Minister's mistress give birth to a boy or a girl? Well, at least the nation hasn't lost its sense of humour. Next thing we know, people will be betting on whether the Prime Minister will go on paternity leave. The Czech Republic's new electronic toll system has only been in operation for 2 weeks, and already Czech drivers have found a way to get round it. The system introduces electronic gates that tally tolls for trucks 12 tons or over. Every truck must have a cabin signal box, which is picked up by the gate screening device. But drivers have found that if you wrap the signal box in tin foil, it goes undetected. Another way to pass undetected is to spray your windscreen where the box is with a spray available on the black market. Both methods are said to work reliably, but the electronic toll systems company Kapsch, which has installed the system here in the Czech Republic, has warned drivers against using them, saying that the gate's monitoring device would monitor the passing truck anyway and alert the traffic police. Of course, we've no doubt they will try it anyway, a Kapsch spokesman said. Czech employers are pretty tolerant with regard to people's private lives, but a clerk recently got the boot for stripping off to pose nude for an artist. The artist used a variety of models, government clerks, nannies, and even a court administrator, who agreed to bear all for the sake of art. The exhibition attracted a record number of visitors, but the said clerk's employer was not amused. The last time something similar happened was when a court judge faced disciplinary action for taking part in a Miss Bikini contest. Many Czech schools have a serious problem fighting alcohol abuse, smoking and drug abuse among teenagers. A primary school in Litomyšl has just made headlines as the first Czech school to buy an alcohol detector. For months, teachers suspected that some of the boys secretly drank. You could smell it on their breath, but we had no proof and they just denied it when we informed their parents, the headmaster said. The school eventually decided that the only solution was to buy an alcohol detector, such as those used by the traffic police, and make the boys take a breath test. The parents all gave written consent, and things are said to have improved considerably since. If you sometimes think that your children will drive you crazy, then maybe a story from the Czech Republic will make you feel better. The parents of a 13-year-old boy face court proceedings and may have to pay thousands of crowns in damages after their son made two hoax calls to Ruzyně Airport in September of last year. The boy, who was in bed with a flu, was bored and decided to test the country's emergency services. He called Ruzyně Airport to say he'd planted a bomb on the premises. The airport immediately cancelled all flights and evacuated the premises. A thorough search revealed no bomb and flights were restored in several hours' time. However, the kid made a second hoax call the same afternoon, and the whole exercise was repeated to the cost of millions of crowns. The boy is underage, so the police have closed the case, but the airport has said it will take the matter to court and demand compensation from the boy's parents. So, think again. Has your child got you into a bigger mess than that? And finally, the Czech Republic is preparing to host the second World Championship in Sudoku. It's to be held from March the 28th till April 1st under the auspices of President Klaus and will be attended by the cream of the crop from 22 states. Sudoku has proved a huge success with Czechs, replacing crossword puzzles as a popular pastime. A fifth of all Czechs do Sudoku puzzles on a regular basis. And if you need proof of that, I have it. The winner of the first ever world championship in Sudoku, held in Italy last year, was 33-year-old Jana Tilová from the Czech Republic.
There with Magazine. A reminder that you can find this program as well as most other features and reports from Radio Prague on our website www.radio.cz/English. Now turn up the volume and learn some Czech. Here's Pavla Horáková with Soundcheck. You are listening to Sound Czech, Radio Prague's own Czech language series in which you learn useful phrases through song lyrics. Today we'll hear a song by one of the most popular Czech bands at the moment, Divoké Byl. The song is called Malování, or painting, and uses more than one idiom.
To je to tvoje malování, vzdušnej zámku, malování, postegolej. Rukama tě nezachrání, už máš na kánku, nezachrání.
In this clip you might have caught two idioms. One of them is vzdušné zámky, or castles in the air, literally air castles, meaning the same as in English, daydreams, thinking or dreaming about something unattainable. The singer does not speak about building castles in the air, but rather painting them, malování. Let's say it's a bit of a mixed metaphor. The other phrase you could hear is mít na kahánku, which means to be on one's last legs, to be close to death or extinction. A literal translation of the idiom is to have on a burner, kahánek meaning a small burner, and it makes as little sense to me as it probably does to you. The singer uses the second person singular, máš na kahánku, that is, you are on your last legs, your life is hanging by a thread. Let's listen once again.
To je to tvoje malování, vzdušnej sámku, malování, postegolejma rukama tě nezachrání, už máš na kahánku, nezachrání.
Please don't ask me what the rest of the lyrics mean. I can only guess it's about a depressed young individual in a spiritual crisis. But the important thing is that we can learn a couple of Czech idioms, vzdušné zámky and mít na kahánku.
To je to tvoje malování, vzdušnej zámku, malování. Má rukama tě nezachrání, máš na kahánku, nezachrání.
And that's it for this week's edition of Soundcheck with a double serving of Czech idioms. Until next week, you can practice today's phrases by listening back on our website www.radio.cz. Finally, a few bars of Malování by Divoký Bill. Thanks for listening and bye-bye.
Mi taky došel dech. Znáš se, řekni mi, co je jiný, jak v kleci máš se. Pro nevinný noci dlouhý jsou plný touhy a lásky nás tří.
That was Soundcheck with Pavla Horáková. In case you've just tuned in, you're listening to Radio Prague's English service. Now another chance to hear this week's one-on-one with Jan Wellinger, which was first broadcast on November 13th last year.
In today's one-on-one, my guest is young documentary filmmaker Linda Jablonská, who has made a splash on the Czech scene with Left, Right, Forward, a new documentary about the behind-the-scenes lives of two curious groups on the Czech political spectrum, the young conservatives and the young communists. The film is extremely engaging and at times also very funny. Throughout, Jablonská maps the routines and events of both groups, from charity balls to day trips to demonstrations. And it's no surprise the feature film took the better part of a year to complete. When I met with Linda to talk about Left, Right, Forward, the first thing I asked her was whether she as a filmmaker found one of the groups more interesting.
Well, shooting the young communists definitely was kind of more interesting, considering the visual part, like the red flags, the Stalin and Lenin portraits and whatever. And also, like, the young communists for us are something like really rare. The young conservatives are quite, they're not normal, not at all, but they're definitely a bit more closer to us or to our thinking. So it was more interesting shooting with the young communists, definitely.
What surprised you about the young communists? I was thinking in terms of how they understand the impact of communism on Czechoslovakia in the past.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are about the same age as me, so a bit younger. So what I remember, I don't remember anything from the, well, very little. And they don't remember anything because they were like 5 or 4 when the revolution came. So that's quite interesting to actually see how they idealize the, for example, the 70s. That's quite unusual, I think, within young Czech people. They want to live in the 70s, which is really rare.
It wasn't the best of times for a lot of people, so I find it strange that somebody would idealize
it. No, it definitely wasn't. It was such a shitty time, actually. They think, well, what they think is that everybody had work. Everybody have to work, actually. So there were no homeless. There were no disabled people. There were no, I don't know what. They just think that everybody were happy, fine, within their Eastern Bloc. And they are against capitalism, so they hate that somebody who know how to make money have the money, and the other who doesn't know how to make money doesn't have the money. They want everyone to have equal. So that's why they idealized this regime. But it wasn't like this, but I think so.
If we're talking about ideals, how do the young conservatives compare? What are their ideals?
Well, they don't want to pay any taxes. they really look up to the United States. They look up to George Bush. And they just don't have these social feelings. So they think that everyone should work for himself, make his money, and they just don't want the state to have an influence of where the money goes.
Mm-hmm. And how important is, for example, the figure of the Czech president, Václav Klaus?
Hmm. Václav Klaus for them is a big idol. They really look up to him, and even before when he was the head of the Rightish party, and they actually have his portrait in their houses, in their rooms, you know, which is quite interesting because we used to put the portraits of the presidents up to every room or classes, but we don't do it anymore. So that's quite funny. I haven't seen it anywhere else, but we really were in like three or four rooms of young conservatives, and there was Václav Klaus in every single room, and they read his books, and when the phone rings, they have Václav Klaus speaking, like the voice of him, of his, which is
the ringtone.
Yeah, the ringtone.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Now, trust is obviously important. Mm. How did you go about getting the two different groups, the people in them, to trust you?
Well, definitely it was a lot of work. I went to their meetings before we start shooting without the camera, just me. I kind of become friendly to them. I never lied to them. I never said I followed their ideas, but I was friendly. I didn't argue with them because I knew that it doesn't make sense. And if I start arguing with them, I wouldn't shoot anything. So we were kind of like, we were friendly. And I can't say that I made it in purpose, that they are not my friends. Well, they are not my friends, like close friends. But since I try to understand why they actually are young communists, and since I think I found out why they have entered the organization and so on, and I found out that might be their parents or might be whatever, so I kind of understand them. Also, the young conservatives and the young communists, they want to kind of represent them, and they want to be in the media. So that's why they were open.
It struck me that taken together, both groups, to a certain degree, are misfits. There's the young communist, 17 years old, and there's the scene in the film where he berates a trio of young or of teenage girls. And my own reaction was, well, he's 17, he should probably be trying to pick up one of these girls instead of complaining that they don't know enough about a Russian hero supposedly died for their freedom. What are your feelings? Are they misfits?
I think that's why they are young communists. I think they want to be misfits because they feel good in it. Basically, they are in opposition, and that's what they like, to be in the opposition. Like they say, everybody hates us, but they actually, when they say it, they like it.
It seems like there's also some kind of security within belonging to some kind of group.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. That's a very closed group. They have the relationships within the organization. You know, they go out together, they go to weekend houses, whatever. I think basically one of the reasons why somebody enters the organizations is also because he might not have found any good friends anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. Now, shortly before your film was released, the Interior Ministry effected a ban on the Young Communist Association for backing some policies that they say are unconstitutional. What are your feelings about the ban?
I don't really think it matters. I think it's I think they will gather anyway, you know, and they're still functioning, and it will go to trial, and they want to go to European trial as well. So it can take 1 year or maybe more, you know, and nothing will happen in between. I think it was a political act before the elections, that's for sure. It was just like a few days before the elections. But I think why they actually did this, I would say, well, because of the Stalin T-shirt. Because of all the symbols and what they say.
Mm-hmm. Young Hunza, the 17-year-old, actually has a Stalin T-shirt on for much of the movie. What is sexy about Stalin to them?
What's about Stalin? Well, Stalin is a hero for them, for some of them. It's not for all of them. And I also think it's because they kind of feel a special when they say Stalin is a good person. Nobody says that, you know, but them. even the old communists from Czech Communist Party, they don't say this, never. So, but what's sexy about Stalin? Well, they think he was the one who killed Nazism. He was the one who won the war, basically. And the fact that there were millions of people dying, it's kind of, well, that was the time, you know, that's the time, that how it went. Yeah. So that was the need, that, well, there had to be some people killed to win the war, I guess, or to win whatever.
Have you had feedback from either group, from the young conservatives or from the communists?
Yeah, they saw the film actually, like, the first ones, because I wanted to be fair, so I showed it to them. Some of them really liked it. They were like, totally, oh, wow, that's such a cool film. And they were laughing when the other group was on, so they were laughing at it. But the thing is, what happened then, that, like, when they were watching it in their rooms alone, they were okay. But then we showed it in the festival. In Jihlava, and everybody was like laughing like hell, and then they went there and they kind of realized, you know, like they're laughing at us. Like they didn't knew what's gonna happen, and I didn't knew what's gonna happen, you know. They didn't. Now right now they're famous.
Do you see any of them going beyond being, say, just foot soldiers, politicians at a local level, to actually making it higher up in politics? Can we rule it out?
I'm not sure, I can't say. But I kind of commented on it. I kind of chose the people because I thought they could make it up. I'm not sure about the communists, but they are actually working on the basic level, on the like a lower politics. They're actually in it. But the higher politics, I'm not sure, but I think so. Yeah, some of them we can maybe, within 10 years, we will see these youngsters in higher positions.
And Jan Wellinger's guest today was Linda Jablonska, the creator of a new documentary on the lives of young conservatives and communists here in the Czech Republic. That's the end of this Radio Prague program. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tune in for more from Radio Prague soon. I'm Dita Asiedu. Goodbye and take care.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, onde courte. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures, 7h27, 5930, 7345, Europe. 8h30, 8h57, 9860, 11600, Europe. Dix-sept heures trente, 17h57, 5930, 15710, Europe, Afrique centrale. 19h30, 19h57, 5930, 9430, Europe, Afrique. 23h, 23h27, 5930, 7345, Amérique du Nord. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.